Let's get ready to rumble!
Senior Nation Jam Pack Show today.
Yo, what is going on, everybody? You know what day it is, producer AB?
It's hump day, Mr. Luke.
AB, let's go. Happy Wednesday. Happy trading. I'm back from the dead. And we're ready to get into it today. How does that sound?
Let's do it. I know we've got a couple live trades to make on the show today, Luke. But real quick, we're going to start with a new segment. This segment is where we take a ticker from the chat. In this case, though, I'm going to give Luke one. He's going to pull up Benzinga Pro, go to the financials on the stock in Benzinga Pro, look at, you know, the revenue, the balance sheet, and give a letter grade based on you know, his findings in 2 minutes or less. So he might say, hey, the financials look like a B plus to me or a C minus. So the first one we're going to go with, Luke.
And I'm in the mood to YOLO buy stocks today. I'm definitely in a YOLO stock buying mood today. So if anybody has tickers for me, drop them in there.
You might want to buy this after doing the quick financials on it. Ticker HMY. If you were watching live trading with Benzinga today, you saw me open a position in this stock. And now I want to hear Luke's take on it.
I can't do it. I want to know if Spencer Israel will know the reason. Spencer. Ticker HMY. Why could I not buy that stock? It's giving me negative flashbacks to what? Yes, yeah, Spencer knew. Spencer knew. Who out there remembers ticker HMNY? It's not HMY. HMNY. Who remembers that stock?
I don't know if this is the same company. I'm looking at it right now.
No, it's a different company. It's just too close, okay? It's too close.
Well, we can still look at the financials.
And we will. But who remembers which ticker HMNY was? That was a blast from the past. We got it.
MoviePass?
It was MoviePass. Helios and Matheson. Let's take 2 seconds, producer AB, and go over this story again. This is one of the greatest stock stories of all time, okay? So here's a wild chart that we're looking at, okay? There's some stock splits in here, but basically you have the stock right now is trading at 0.0005 cents. The high on this chart was about $10,000. Again, there were some splits in there, but this was Helios and Matheson, which was also MoviePass, okay? Here's why this gives me like bad flashbacks, all right? Helios and Matheson. Company that existed for 30 years, publicly traded for many years, had a fine business. It was basically an analytics business. And one of their plays for their analytics business was to get into movie analytics. And they were basically going to produce this data on movies and movie going and then sell it to the movie studios to help inform decisions. Okay, so they're an analytics business, existed for decades. Getting into the movie business, collect analytics on moviegoers, sell that to the movie studios, okay? How did they do that? Sam remembers. Sam in the chat remembers. They did that with the offering MoviePass for anybody who remembers that craze. It was, I think it was like $10, $20 a month. You could go to unlimited movies at the movie theater. The reason why they did this was that so that way they could collect that user data, run it through their analytics engine, repackage it, and then sell out that user data. Okay, so that was the Helios and Matheson story. The stock went buck effing wild. Okay, look at this. We have, again, this is split adjusted, but it's the best we have. $250 to $4,000 when movie passes the craze, okay? It was everywhere. It was the front page of CNN.com, etc. Slow trickle of death when the company ran into financing issues. The company said, we had financing. We're good to go. Stock spikes, goes crazy again. Company has to shut down its MoviePass program. Company can't get financing, and this business that had existed for decades essentially went bankrupt in a matter of months. Okay, so that's the Helios and Matheson. That's the MoviePass story. It's like the biggest, highest profile stock blow up story that I can remember. Probably the most fun stock blow up story since Enron. I'm gonna throw that out there. If anybody has a better stock blow up story, I definitely want to hear it. But yes, Helios and Matheson, that was a hell of a party.
I remember the movie pass. I wasn't really investing or trading at the time, so I don't remember the stock side of it, just the actual movie pass product. But yeah, let us know in the chat if you have another favorite stock blow up story. All right, Luke, let's go back to HMY, do our quick 2-minute breakdown on the financials. That is why I entered this stock today, because the financials looked strong to me, but I want to hear your take, Luke. So in 2 minutes or less, let's go to Benzinga Pro. We'll go to the financials. We'll see what we'll see how we're looking for Harmony Gold Mining Co. Ticker HMY. Bless you.
All right. And I'm going to say this one too. And let's look at Celsius for a second after this, producer AB, but I have some thoughts there. But generally speaking, I think that junior miners are sort of tough, because a lot of what you're betting on for these junior miners is the prospect of gold reserves, gold that's not getting pulled out of the ground yet. But the company basically suspects that they will be pulling gold out of the ground at some point in the future. So that's why I think junior miners in general are tough, right? I don't have a competitive advantage for analyzing this. Do I know that this plot of land that they have in Nevada is going to produce gold? No. It's sort of like the small biotech stocks. I just don't feel like I have a competitive advantage with it for those, and that's why I typically stay away from them. That said, let's look at the financials. I'm shooting blanks right here, producer AB. Is that accurate or no?
I don't believe so. We do have revenue.
Okay, we do have revenue.
We have revenue. Yeah.
All right, so I'm in our Benzinga Pro calendar. So they are making money. Let's run this. So they're making $290 million a quarter. It seems pretty consistent for at least the last four quarters. So that's a $1 billion a year in sales. And I know what you're looking at, producer AB. You're saying they're doing $1 billion a year in sales. They only have a $2 billion market cap. So the stock is only trading at 2x price to sales,
which is well below the S&P average.
Check this one out. $4.4 billion of debt, and the company is unprofitable. That's a little bit scary. If we go back to the earnings calendar, we see that the EPS is right around break even, slightly negative over the trailing year. And they have $4 billion of debt. What we have to look at, and let's just do a... Let's grab a quick SEC filing on this one. When is that debt due? That's my question. Let's see if we can find a quick 10Q on this bad boy. Or 10K.
Can you command F 10Q?
No, they're all Form 6s, which is sort of tough. Form 6 is the same as basically a current statement. Oh Jesus, that's sad. They had a seismic event that caused a fatality. Let's just click through a couple of these and see if we can find a quarterly report. Nope, there's their COVID. It might be around here. Let's try two more. Okay, there we have a blank. Can we get a 10Q? I don't think so. All right. So I don't know. Let's see. Just search this one. It looks like it has some comments on debt. We don't have anything on the debt. So that's the one piece that scares me, producer AB. So if the company has that $4.4 billion of debt, we need to look at when that debt is due. If you know, it's coming quick, and the company doesn't have cash for it, obviously that's problematic. They're going to have to raise money. If they are already carrying that much debt, they're already carrying $4.4 billion of debt on $1 billion a year of sales, I'm guessing that they can't go back to the debt market and take out more money. So the way that they're going to have to raise more funds, I'm guessing, is via a stock offering. Of course, offerings aren't great. So I'm giving this one, producer AB, I'm throwing a C at you. Okay.
Okay. Not great. I bought the stock today. Well, my price target's $4. We'll see if it, comes to fruition. But
I see somebody saying, "What type of Q is that?" What I was looking for was the 10Q. That's a quarterly statement. What we have here with this company is all Form 6s, and that's basically the equivalent of an 8K for a U.S. company. This is a non-U.S. company, so they file Form 6. You can think about that as the same as an 8K from a U.S. company.
And again, we're getting all this information from Benzinga Pro. So if you haven't already, hit the link in the description for a free 2-week trial. You'll be able to go through any stock that you have, financials and forms like that, like we just did, as well as stay up to date on any real-time news updates. Thank you for throwing the link in the chat, Mr. Jacoby.
Producer AB, and I actually have, this is rare. I have, for the first time on our YouTube, a mechanism for people to get to win a free year of Benzinga Pro.
Oh, really?
Should I drop it?
Have we cleared it with Mr. Weiss and Mallard?
Nope.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we're soliciting some user feedback. If anybody out there has 10 minutes, okay, 10 minutes slow during your trading day, and you can tell us how to build a better Benzinga for you, content you like, you don't like, what we should be doing. I have a survey for you to fill out. There's not a ton of people that we're sending this survey to. It's going to be a decent group, but not a crazy number. If you fill out this survey, you are entered to win a free year of Benzinga Pro. Okay, Ruel, shout out my main man Ruel saying drop it like it's hot. The link is dropped. It would help me out, guys. You could fill that out.
Oh, Luke, Born to Be Free is saying the August 26th one shows financial results from the period to be reported. looks like Born to Be Free was doing some digging into
20% different. That's bad. As somebody who has to like publish financials for their business, which is me, if I had a 20% discrepancy between financials that I report and actual results, I think I would get fired.
Someone might have screwed up, but that doesn't mean the stock can't go up a little bit. Some investor that I really likes to like search for words like that differ in reports to see, you know, as a red flag, like if it pops up like 10 different times and they're having to post, you know, altered numbers in a bunch of different areas, that's a red flag.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, for sure. That's not good at all.
Yeah, and Cal, I would say those are all goals of ours. With that being said, our redirect on YouTube isn't working right now, so our viewership's a little lower than normal. So if you guys don't mind just sharing the link to this show on Twitter, you know, wherever you are on social media, get some buddies in here, get your parents in here, whoever it is. Yeah.
All right, how do you like that Celsius hanging out at 90, producer AB?
I do know that our good friend of the program, Jonah Lupton, said that he would need to shotgun a Celsius, I believe, if it closed above $90. So let me pull up his Twitter, see if he's done that yet.
An EDR. Somebody's asking for us to reach out to the EDR CEO.
I did. Yeah, I reached out to Endeavor. I think
Can
we might
get
be
a quick gut check on where everybody's at with GameStop. I have not been in GameStop for quite a while. And you know I've been eyeing it, producer AB.
Whoa, I didn't know Twitter like allows you to put a newsletter in the like a product in the top of your thing now.
Producer AB, GameStop, yes or no? Everybody in the chat, GameStop, ticker GME. One if you like it, two if you don't. I have not been in it for a while. I've been eyeing it for a while. I think today is the day to hop back in. Catalyst coming up. The SEC is going to be publishing a report on the short squeeze. That drives some more energy back into it. It gets it back onto CNN. And I use CNN as the proxy for non-financial media. Nobody likes it.
I think I would like it more if I saw it drop down to that 150 range that I'd get in.
I know. We talked about it. We looked at it. We didn't do it.
I'm going through Jonah's media posts on Twitter. I see one where he tagged you,
I know,
Luke.
I forgot to respond.
I know. I was just going to say that. I went to the responses and you never responded.
I know. Wait, put it back up. I didn't actually read it. I just saw the note. I was at the gym and I got the notification. And then by the time that I got home, I forgot.
Well, now
when I say got home, you know, the time that I got back to work.
All right, GME. What are they doing to evolve their business model to something that is not dog poo?
Here we go, Luke. I got it shared now. At Luke Jacoby, lightweight baby warm-up sets.
All right, wait, zoom in. How much? What's he got on there? 275?
245, so that's 90 plus a 25.
Oh, come on, come on. I know this shit. That's 275. You got 245s and a 25. That's a 275 bench.
I was going to do it. It just might have taken me a second.
Yeah, I know, but when you lift, right, you just have all the numbers memorized, okay?
Okay.
All right. I can count by 90s very well. You got 135, then 225, 315, 405, 495.
Hey, how about this one? This kid that I worked with in back home in Missouri, he's like a big, big weight guy. He posted a picture last night on a leg press machine with 8 plates on one side.
Your leg press machine is all bullshit.
I know, but still 8 plates on one side. So give me that.
Doesn't do anything for me. Sorry.
I'm just asking you for the number.
All right, I don't know. I can't count that high. You got me up to 500 pounds, okay?
720.
All right, you have again 135, 225, 315, 405, 495, and you know, I'll let you know when I get above 495, okay?
All right, bringing up your screen back up. What are we looking at here, Luke?
I'm doing it.
Luke's buying some GameStop live on the show. Can we get an air horn for that? Live trades on the show.
All right, nobody likes this trade though.
Sometimes those are the best trades.
We're making some okay money today too. Already up $1,500. I don't know, guys. Here's my thing. It's a stock that has. Oop, we got to verify. We got to get this fill. There we go. All right, we're filled. Okay, it's a stock that has a history of popping. I know you all are saying that I'm crazy. Okay. But if we look at this GameStop chart, and we'll go back, we'll look beyond sort of the madness period, right? It has a history of popping. We're consolidating again, and we have a catalyst, all right? Which the catalyst is the SEC report on the short selling is going to come out that is going to get mainstream media coverage. I'm just telling you, as somebody who's been in the media business for 10 years, it's going to get mainstream media coverage. That's the catalyst that potentially kicks off another rally. Nobody likes that trade.
I think on the same,
which is fine.
I think in that same realm, Luke, I think SDC, Smile Direct Club, could be an interesting buy right here as a potential short squeeze. It's gotten a lot of coverage as a potential short squeeze, and we've seen some pops, but not like the big squeeze yet. And I mean, I think it might be worth buying a little here because it's so cheap already. And then if it pops, you're looking pretty good.
All right. So clean balance sheet, $2.2 billion market cap. Like, let's see the sales. But aren't the sales declining?
I don't care. I'm not worried about the financials. I'm looking at it for a short squeeze.
All right. Okay. It's a swing trade. It's not an investment.
Exactly. And in that you know, thought process, I almost want the numbers to look worse so there's more short interest coming in.
It is a highly, highly shorted stock. 33%. That's a ton.
Yeah, it's one of the most.
For our trusty Benzinga Pro here. And again, guys, if you scroll back, you fill out that survey, you're entered to win your free year of Benzinga Pro, okay?
What do you guys think about
this? Can we get David from carparts.com on sometime in the near future, producer AB?
David,
I'm like dying for some car parts news.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stock's just been sideways. We had a great run in it up to 20, and we sold off, and we've just been sideways since then.
Can we check in on lots?
Yeah, I did not hit that. I talked about it.
I don't think we've really missed out on anything yet. Doesn't look like.
Clearly not. All right, lots. All right, if we're talking about and when's the catalyst for GameStop, the SEC, they said in the near future. I don't think we have a date. Spencer Israel, who I see hanging out in the background, he's the one who might have a date, but I don't think that we have a clear date. Somebody's asking for the survey link again. I got you. I'll put it in one more time. Okay, it's enter to win, okay? Buying the dip on Hut, yes or no, producer AB?
Is that Pizza Hut?
No. Crypto trading? No.
No, I like BT.
I don't trade the crypto mining stocks.
I honestly like BTBT more than a lot of the other miners right now, and that's not just because we had BTBT on the show yesterday. But that the BTBT is like they're being undervalued compared to some of their peers, to some of their competitors. So I think out of any miners, BTBT Bit Digital is the one that I would own.
Here's what I would say with the crypto stocks. If you own Bitcoin or any of the cryptos and you believe that crypto is going to exist in the future, I think that there's no reason that you don't own Coinbase for a 5-year, 10-year stock. If you believe that crypto is going to be going to carry into the future, and again, you're willing to sit on a position for several years, Coinbase is going to be one of those no-brainer trades. Of course, it's all dependent on the use of crypto in the future. I think the jury is still out on that a little bit. I'm net bullish, but I don't think it's a sure thing.
You don't think it's a sure thing that crypto is going to be around?
It'll be around, but you don't think it'll be as prevalent? 10 times the market that it is now 10 years from now? I don't know.
I hear you.
And then if you think that crypto trading is going to be the future, VYVGF, and I do own Coinbase and I own Voyager. There we go. I think that this is a good trade as well. And the Voyager valuation is so cheap. And yeah, we have Benzinga World is calling that huts down on their offering. See, look at this. One of the benefits of Benzinga Pro. I always know what's causing a stock to move right at the top of my page. So that's the move there. All right, Spencer, Are you on GameStop?
No.
Why not?
I don't have the cojones for that.
I just did it. I have not been in it for quite a while.
Yeah, if I pull up, well, I'm echoing right now. If I pull up the crypto heat map, Luke, we can see real quick Bitcoin and Ethereum both having a nice day. Cardano bouncing back yesterday after a not so great day for Cardano yesterday. ADA up about 6%. Moving over to Litecoin, of course, in the news with the fake press release with Walmart. Litecoin is pretty flat green, but 0.03.
That was fake news, correct?
Completely fake news. That's like the one time fake news is the most accurate way.
The fakest news ever.
The most accurate way.
If you guys missed it, it was that Walmart was accepting Litecoin as a payment mechanism.
And actually, I was reading more about it and digging into it, Luke, and pretty much every, any credible crypto journalist out there was like, thought that it smelled fishy from the get-go because they're like a big company like Walmart would be way more likely to accept like
Bitcoin before they do Litecoin. Yes, yes.
Right. Or
if you believe that, I did not believe that headline for a second.
Yeah.
If
and then
you
there
believe
was like,
that headline, shame on you a little bit. Okay. We're not going to hold it against you, but shame on you for believing that headline.
And Walmart is
Spencer Israel made Litecoin his main holding after that headline came out.
Yeah.
And Spencer, shame on you.
It's possible that I lost my entire retirement account on Monday.
It's possible. Anyway,
now you have to buy some sub-penny shitcoin to try to earn it back.
Yeah.
Wait. Ripple XRP up about 3%. This crypto update has been brought to you by Voyager. If you go to Voyager and use the code Zing, you will get $50 in Bitcoin after your first deposit of $100 or more, and you make your first trade. Free $50 in Bitcoin. If you haven't done it already, use code Zing. No reason not to. Spence, how are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, guys, if you've been crypto curious, you literally have to be directionally 50% wrong on your trade just to get back to break even. Okay.
Yes, A&M, you can throw any symbol you want out there. We may acknowledge it.
We may not acknowledge it.
We may not. You never know. But you're never gonna know. XLM is a Lumina.
What?
The crypto?
Oh.
Stellar Lumens.
Wait, real fast. You guys mentioned HUT. Hut did it is down because they did an offering.
Oh, thank you, Spencer.
Yeah, they did an offering.
The ninth person who stole us. We got that in the chat.
All right.
Spencer, if you watched the show, you would know.
No, if you watched Pure Market Prep, you would know. Jeez.
Wait, we had a question for Spencer, though. What was it, Producer AB? We actually had one that we needed, like, some Spencer history knowledge on.
The GameStop. When's the short interest SEC thing?
Oh, yeah. When's the GameStop report coming out?
When's the report coming out? Everyone's been asking that question. Gensler started this. He was the one that said yesterday that they were close. What the hell does close mean? I don't know.
Okay, so we don't know.
Spencer, come on. Come on, man. Get to the bottom of it, Spencer.
I'm guessing 30 days.
30 days?
Betting pool, all right? I'm gonna say 19 days from today. 19 calendar days.
That's a month, right? Yes. Okay.
No, what, 19 calendar days.
Not weekdays. Calendar.
Not market days.
Oh.
All right. That's mine. I'm writing it down on my paper. It says LJ Spencer. Call yours.
Wait, real fast. Pamela Hut's down because they did an offering.
Thank you.
I want to tell Pamela that. Wait. When is the SEC GameStop report going to be out? You say the
next Tuesday.
That's what AB says, and Luke says when the
19 days.
Okay.
So Producer AB is on the 21st.
I'm going to say
plus 6 days.
I'm going to say I'm going to say like October 8th.
Spencer, we got a big interview coming up here in a few minutes with Jason Krantz, the CEO and founder of Definitive Healthcare, IPOing today.
Yeah, waiting for it to open. I don't think it's opened yet.
Ticker DH. I'm sure Jason is too, which is why he's not with us.
We have a big IPO.
It did open. I stand corrected. DH just opened.
Why is VZ a steaming pile of Duke? James wants to know. Also, Scott wants to know why BOFA is up 17% today.
Check your Benzinga Pro. And BOFA isn't a ticker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what BOFA is.
B of A.
I was literally just like, I don't know what stock that is. There's not a ton of stocks that I don't know, right?
It's Bank America.
No, BAC, but it's a joke. It's like, so you say, yeah, all right, there we go. We got it in the chat.
Wait, Spencer, what's the IPO you were looking out for?
What was what? DH?
Figure DH? Delta Hotel?
Chat, you guys are ridiculous. This is the thing. Is like we're trying to like bring on like, you know, like public company CEOs, and you guys are making like BOFA jokes against
Scott,
chat.
Don't be sorry. I enjoyed it.
It's just like, come on.
It's a different show, Spencer, than Pre-Market Prep, okay?
I know, but we're like for all we know, like they're watching this right now being like, what?
And we got the apes in here as well.
Yeah, I got to hop out for a sec. I'll be back in a couple minutes. You're in good hands, Singer Nation. Let me know if, you know, Uncle Spencer says anything bad.
All right, one more, Spencer. Figure ENG.
What's the joke there? I don't get it.
There's no joke.
Oh, okay.
Stock is up. No, why is it moving?
Say it again. ENG?
Yeah. All right, so this is our green energy stock. Let's zoom.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This thing out. Yeah. Here's a one-year chart, Spency. ENG. Let's outsource this one. Going out to the chat. You like EN Global, ticker ENG, drop the one. If not, drop the two. Now I know why I remember this one. This was a hot, hot stock at the start of the year.
Spencer, do you like this chart?
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. It's, no. Come on, people.
Hydrogen play. Christian Gallagher has us.
All right. Wait, Luke, did we talk about the exclusives that we had in pro this morning yet?
We did not.
We did not? You want to pull up AMPE? AMPO Pharma?
Yeah.
Every day, we're moving stocks, guys. We're moving stocks from exclusive headlines.
All right, so check this out. Everything that you see on my screen right now, this is a filtered view, is news that the Benzinga team originated.
That's
we're going beyond just reporting on the news and making the news more actionable than anybody else. But we're actually breaking the news, where companies are coming to us and saying, Benzinga, we are going to break this news for you. If it would be helpful, I can talk through how that breaking news process works. I've done it before, but if anybody would like me to go through that cycle, I'm more than happy to do it. But check this one out. Ticker AMPE Alpha Mike Papa Echo stock is up 18%. Company announced positive top line results. They have a drug in trial. Trial went well. Benzinga broke that news. Stock has subsequently ripped.
Yeah, and it's not just don't be like, oh no, I missed. You know, it went from 140 to 180, right? Oh no, I missed it. That's only half of it. The other half is the way down, right? There's the way up and the way down. In this case, we've gone from 183 to 170 in the last hour or so. Like, there's volatility here. There's upside and downside. There's action to be had. Don't just think, oh no, I missed the rally. Too late. Not necessarily the case. That's why I bring that up.
So if you like to short $1 stocks, then Spencer will call out the tickers for you tomorrow morning.
Look,
up 50%.
I didn't necessarily say that. I for all I know, it's optionable. I don't know if it's optionable or not. I don't know if there are puts on, if you can buy puts on this thing. I have no idea.
But if you're looking for trades, short $1 stocks that are up 40% on the day.
All right. You know what? I'm trying to be helpful.
Always helpful.
Get off me, man. I'm trying to be helpful here.
Shout out James J in the chat.
I saw a few tickers in the chat that, wait, Planted Cyclist, what's your question? Okay, here we go. Planted Cyclist is asking, wondering if you think Tesla catalyst could be with the Inspiration 4 launch tonight on Netflix. Wait a minute. Is the launch tonight actually going to be on Netflix? I did not know that. So what Planted Cyclist is referring to is a SpaceX launch. That's going to happen today. They're going to do like an orbit around the Earth, right? I did not know it was going to be on Netflix.
It's definitely on Netflix.
Okay. Wow. That's
pretty cool.
All right. So anyway, the different company, right? SpaceX and Tesla, same CEO, different company. Oh no, isn't Elon not the CEO anymore? Or no, he still is. I don't know. I can't even keep up. Do I think it's a catalyst? Oh, point surgeon. I'm sorry. Do I think the launch tonight's a catalyst for Tesla? No, not really.
I don't really either.
Nothing to do with the business. Dude,
nothing to do with the business.
Yeah.
And we've seen it before so many times.
Yeah.
Right? If this is the first launch, sure, I'll give it to you. Second launch, I'll give it to you. But I mean, we've just seen the story so many times. That's why I don't think it's as interesting. It's like when Trump took office and he would tweet stuff early in the morning.
Yeah.
Just me and Spencer Israel, 6:30 a.m. here at Benzinga HQ, barely awake. You know, lights are still off. We're having our first cup of coffee. Trump would tweet some wild, wild things, and the stock market would react instantly for the first several times. And after the first several times, the market just stopped reacting. I use that example because I think it's a pretty white or black and white example, but it's like that for a lot of catalysts. Most catalysts, I'd say.
Yeah. This is not interesting to me in terms of Tesla. It's interesting to me.
If SNL didn't move the stock, then this isn't. How's that?
Right. Exactly. Anyway. Okay. So it's 12:38. Our guest. Jason Krantz will be on, I'm told, at 12:40. Their IPO, it just opened like 5 minutes ago, so they're still getting things together there. But he'll be on with us, the founder and CEO of Definitive Healthcare, ticker DH, just had the IPO today. We'll have the CEO on in 2 minutes. We'll have Tim Quast on after that. What's up? Why are you laughing?
Ruel's comment in the chat.
Hey, speaking of Workhorse,
they threw out their thing.
They threw out the thing.
The story. Spencer Israel loves this company.
What? When did I ever say that?
You interviewed them many times.
I interviewed Steve Schrader like once or twice.
All right, tell us the Workhorse story, Spencey. Here's a one-year chart, guys. One-year chart, daily candles.
This is what happens when all your hopes and dreams are pinned on one contract and you don't get the contract. This is
the Postal Service.
This is what happens.
Which, ironically, Trump sort of, made some issues there, too.
Yeah.
Basically, Workhorse is going to provide, I believe it was hydrogen-powered vehicles for the Postal Service. Is that accurate?
And now they gave the contract to Oshkosh instead.
Yep. So they lost the contract.
Yeah. Ticker, what is it? OSK? OSK. Yeah.
So Workhorse, it ran into some issues. Here's Oshkosh for you. And what about Bros? Can you talk about Dutch Bros, please, Spencer?
The coffee company?
Another hot new IPO today.
Yeah, so I got to admit, prior to Monday, I had never heard of this company before.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
So apparently it's really big in the West Coast. I'm not on the West Coast, or in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know this company. Apparently it's huge.
I never heard of it either.
All the hipsters love it.
That's why I said, Spencer, can you talk about it?
No. I prior to Matt Hammond on talking about it on Monday's pre-market prep, I never heard of this company. But yeah, so I have no thoughts on the company because I don't know it. But what did it IPO today, right? And what did it open at? It opened at 32. So it did get a little bit of a pop because
it's a nice 15% move. So yeah, it priced at $23.
Woo!
23 to 36. That's a big move.
Very nice. All right, and on that note, Luke, it is just about time for our guest in a minute here, Jason Krantz.
All right, that's a good one.
Do you know what this company does? I'll tell you.
Walk me through it.
Basically,
and guys, we're talking ticker DH, Delta Hotel.
Yeah, basically, they're a SaaS platform for the healthcare industry. Hospitals.
It's a good industry, man. I'm telling you.
Hospitals, providers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I love the health tech industry. Somebody's talking about Lucid still.
I've moved on. I'm all about.
Yeah, I lost interest in it as well.
So anyway, so Definitive Healthcare, right? IPO today. SaaS platform for healthcare. Let's bring on the founder and CEO right now on the Power Hour. And there's Luke.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Jason Krantz, welcome to the Power Hour. Okay, you are the founder and CEO of Definitive Healthcare. I briefly explained what you do. I described you as a SaaS platform for the healthcare industry, but from your mouth, explain exactly what you do.
Absolutely. So Definitive Healthcare plays in the healthcare universe. The healthcare market is very large. It's a $4 trillion market. It's about 18% of the U.S. GDP. But what makes a healthcare market very unique is the complexity. It's a very difficult healthcare. It's a difficult market to understand and to sell and compete into. So what we do is we create data and intelligence in a platform to help our clients understand and navigate and sell into this very large end market.
So what kinds of like industry-wide tailwinds are at your back right now?
There's a lot of tailwinds within healthcare right now. First of all, the market's growing. There's an aging population. It's a great market to be in. But some of the tailwinds that really, really feed into what Definitive does are things like new and changing regulation and the shift to value-based care. So all of these are creating more complexity in the market. And we provide analytics that help our clients understand how these changes impact their business, what to do about it, and how to make sure that they can be successful in spite of these changes.
Can you maybe give us like a couple of use cases, of practical use cases and like examples of these insights that you guys provide?
Absolutely. So let's say you're a company that sells MRI machines or X-ray machines. We will provide information on the number of operating rooms that facilities have and how many different X-rays they produce in a given year. And what types of X-rays? So are they complicated? Are they scans? all of this intelligence helps clients figure out what are the size of the markets that I can compete in, who are the best healthcare providers that I should be targeting, and then we'll provide tactical information like executive decision maker information so they can understand who they want to target at these organizations and what's the best message for them.
Can you explain what exactly was that you saw back in the day when you were just a startup in your house? What need did you see for this company?
Yeah, 10 years ago when I started this company, healthcare was already big, but it's undergone a tremendous amount of change over the last 10 years, and that's really what's been great for us. So things like the rollout of electronic health record systems has created a tremendous amount of data in this market. And there's a lot of consolidation happening within the market as well. All of these changes in precision medicine, all of these changes make it more difficult to understand this market. So we continue to grow our platform. And now we track every single provider across the entire United States. And we understand how they all link together and deep analytics on the technology infrastructure and what makes them tick. All of this allows people to understand this change as this organization and the industry is growing, how to adapt to that change.
Tell us a little bit about what the last year and a half has been like for you. How did COVID impact your business?
Yeah, COVID was very interesting. It impacted everybody, of course, but the healthcare system in the United States almost ceased to continue for some period of time. There was no elective procedures, and hospitals and physicians were unable to do anything except work on COVID. So some things that we did that were important is we tried to figure out how can we be part of the solution. So we have a tremendous amount of information and intelligence on the whole healthcare ecosystem that we realize can be helpful to make sure that our country can deal with this problem. So what we did is we actually partnered with the federal government and health systems across the country to create a COVID-19 capacity predictor. And what our data scientists did is they were able to model out the potential number of cases of COVID versus the number of ICU beds and ventilators on a county by county basis. So this intelligence was incredibly helpful to the industry as they wanted to figure out where was there going to be a shortage of beds and where did we need to spend time as a country filling that need and making sure that we were able to provide care to those people.
Last question for you here, Jason. Sure. You've gotten a nice day one pop on this IPO, but why now? Why IPO now? Why go public right now? And why use the IPO process?
So IPO is really important for us because as we continue to grow, it's all about how do we find new and innovative ways to help our clients? How can we expand the use cases? They come to us every day and they say, look, we love what you provide, but there's so many other things that you can do. So this IPO, it's just a step in this journey. It will help us innovate faster to develop more platforms and more data and more analytics to help our clients overall. And as you think about, you know, taking a traditional IPO front, Definitive Healthcare has a very unique financial profile. So we have a unique combination of really high growth, really high profitability, and a tremendous amount of visibility into the future. Those three things together are rare. They make us a very strong public company. And as a result, the traditional IPO path is perfect for us.
I guess I lied. One more. What are the plans for the proceeds from today's offering?
Yeah, so the proceeds, we're paying down some debt, but we're really focusing mostly on how can we accelerate our growth through more innovation. So how can we develop more product and look for adjacent opportunities to continue to grow into?
Jason Kranz is the founder and CEO of Definitive Healthcare, ticker DH, IPO just a few moments ago, or opened just a few moments ago. Jason, thanks a lot for joining the Power Hour today.
Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. One of many interviews I'm sure Jason's doing today. He's doing the old IPO car wash, I guess, where they just cycle through a lot of interviews. So we appreciate Jason's time. All right. We got 12 minutes left in the show today. Let's bring on Tim Quast, because why not? Frankly, we don't need a reason to bring Tim on. Let's just bring him on. So, Tim, how are we doing? Good afternoon.
Actually, good morning from my time zone, but good afternoon. I'm well, thank you. I don't know if you can see behind me. We can't really. I'm cast in sort of backlight, I know, at the moment, but we just arrived in Steamboat, and it's like the whole mountain is full of autumn colors. It's just spectacular out there on the Emerald Mountain. So it's, you know, if, no matter what's, you know, what's going on in one's life, you can look at that and it just kind of resets everything. That's it. No, that's what I think.
That's a lovely sentiment. Not sure what it has to do with markets, but it's making me feel good. And
good.
That's all I can ask for. How are you feeling? How are you feeling though, in terms of the markets this week? We're having a nice day so far, actually, but not so much yesterday. So,
well, so it's important to understand, and traders, these are things that you have to know about how the market works today. Every day is not a barometer of rational thought. There is context. There is the movement of money that follows models, all that sort of thing. And it's important to know that today is VIX expirations day. So that's the, you know, commonly called the fear gauge. It's the implied volatility of the S&P 500. But it's not just that. It's volatility as an asset class. And we've talked about this before, Spencer, that there are now trillions of dollars that try to modulate volatility. How can I achieve roughly the performance of the S&P 500, but reduce my volatility by 20 or 30 or 40%? And so if you backed up to August 18th, the last time that the VIX expired, that was a tough day. And it told us that money was coming out of volatility instruments and was going to go back into things that would have volatility. And what followed that was a period of pretty good performance for the FANGs, for tech, for things that produce momentum. So what does it tell us today, September 15th, the Ides of September, that it's a good day as the VIX expires? Well, it could be the opposite. It could mean that when there's high demand for volatility hedges, the market tends to do well, but it ironically, proving a thing by its opposite, means that the market could experience additional pressure. I'm not saying it will, but it's entirely possible. Tim, so that's how I'm feeling.
I got to ask you about this coming Friday.
Okay,
is a big day for a couple of reasons, yes. Not the least of which is we have an S&P index rebalance, which only happens, what, like four times? Look at my calendar.
Four times a year.
So it's once a quarter. And this Friday, the 17th, we actually have a few things on Friday. We have a quad witch. We have an S&P rebalance. Do we have anything with FTSE? We might have a FTSE rebalance in there. Anyway, S&P rebalance. Explain the significance to us.
Okay, so every quarter, and there are, keep in mind, there are hundreds of thousands of indexes run by S&P Dow Jones.
Oh yeah,
it's not just it's FTSE Russell runs 350. 400,000 different indexes. There are 3 million global index products. And so they will recalibrate. That is, there'll be additions and subtractions and the money that is pegged to it. So there are two things that you have to keep in mind as a trader. There is the constitution of the intellectual property called an index. So in this case, the big, you know, you got the S&P 500, the mid cap 400, the small cap 600. And a bunch of others that'll all recalibrate. And so we already sort of know what those calibrations are going to be. So that's one piece of it. Then there is all of the money that is pegged to it. And does the money that is pegged to it continue to do what it did before? That's why it's significant. It's much more significant to understand what the trillions of dollars pegged to these things might do. And that's why it's significant. Those things will change and they will behave in ways that are not rational. It has nothing to do with, picking good companies. It has to do with tracking a measure and making sure that your variance versus that measure is 2% or less. That's where you have to be. If you're more than 2% off of an index, it's bad news if you're trying to sell index products. And so that's what's going to play out here, Spencer.
We'll go over the rebalancing more in detail on, I imagine, on Friday, because that's the actual day. But to Tim's point, these can be big events for traders. Why? Because they cause volatility, right?
Yes.
There are stocks going in. There are stocks going out. Everyone that copies the index has to react accordingly, and that creates vaults, especially at the close, the end of the week. There was a question from the chat here. Webcoin wants your opinion. Is this an okay, Tim, to sell premium in stocks?
Yes. If you want to, well, let me make sure I understand your question. You're selling it, not you want to keep a premium, or are you hoping to exercise an instrument? Oh. I want to make sure I understand that.
I think he wants to. Wait, hold on a second. Let me just make sure I'm reading this right. He doesn't want to get exercised. I don't think.
Right. So you want to, is this a good time to sell calls so that you could keep the premium as opposed to sell puts? Yes. And I'll show you why if you're interested, Webcoin, on why that's the case, but absolutely. And good thinking when it's one of the core things that we explain to people who use Market Structure Edge, that when the demand curves in the sectors of the comprising the market or the broad market itself or whatever stocks that you're interested in is rising, that's a good time to sell puts, right? That, or if you want to keep the premium on a put, do that. When the demand curves are falling, then you want to sell call premiums, that you want to keep the premium on selling calls. So you're exactly right. And it's a good thing to think about coming into options expirations. Is supply and what is the balance of supply and demand as we come into that period? Because you can look back over the last year to date, and almost all of the volatility that we have experienced in the market, and it's actually rather significant, has occurred right around options expirations. It's either just before or just after. And if you add that up, we're now approaching 33% declines. And yet the market has done very well. If you look at those periods, so it would tell us, it would tell the prudent, be very careful. I like to portage around these rapids, the options expirations, but you've hit upon a very good idea, which is, you could sell puts and calls depending on what the supply demand equation is coming into expirations. Good one.
Yeah, I think general rule of thumb, this is usually a good idea to sell premium because these options market makers are really, really good at what they do.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And let me show you something here, if you like, Spencer. Yeah. I'm gonna share my screen because I'll show you something that we run internally. It's not part of the Edge tool set. It's something from the modern IR side, but it's pretty interesting. So this is the S&P 500 data. And this is looking at the last week. So here's the S&P 500. And you can see that active investment has become a little bit of a seller. So when that percentage goes up and the market declines, then we know active money is selling. But realize, active money is only 9% of the trading volume in the S&P 500 the last week. Where is it all? Right there. So, 21% is passive. That's actually down. Okay, so that's telling. If people are going to repeg to measures, what you want to see is an increase in passive and an increase in risk management, because that combination will point to exchange traded funds. And those things are down a combined 5%. I'm not saying that we could decline 5 more percent, but if demand diminishes by 5% into a rebalance, it's generally not good. It's just the way it is. Now, there's the bit of good news would be that we haven't, that doesn't indicate selling by passive money. And here's an interesting view. So see this pattern here? This pattern of green and purple bars, that is what exchange traded funds and indexes look like. And so we always kind of lean to the right. This is why the market has declined. All this red tells us that the S&P 500 has, over the last 7 days, closed has closed below the intraday midpoint as a group. Well, that's an indication of selling, but it came from, so passive money's already done its thing. All of this index rebalancing that we're waiting for Friday, it's already been done, and it took 2 solid weeks to do. It began at the end of September. Word came out And then word came out the first part of September what the rebalances were going to be, and everybody did it. So now as we hit options expirations, the only behavior left in the market is the behavior that doesn't want to own anything. high frequency traders. So that generally in combination, and I'm not predicting it, that generally in combination does not bode well for the market, because the machines move the market in the direction of pressure. So if they see that there isn't any buying occurring, what tends to happen? The market goes down. Once again, I'm not saying that's necessarily the case here, but I will offer a capstone to this. Let's go back and look at broad market sentiment for the S&P 500. We use SPY as a proxy. Well, it peaked back here. It actually peaked on September 7th. Well, that's a good that's a good time to be out. When market structure sentiment, when the measure of supply and demand peaks and demand begins to decline, what is the likelihood that the market continues to rise? Well, as the statisticians say, a number approaching zero. It's not perfect, but it's a very good indication. And it's still falling. Generally, the market trades between 4 and 6. That's the green and red lines. Yeah. So we are still migrating down. Monday will be very important because new options trade. If Monday money shows up and repegs and rehedges, we're going to be fine. If it doesn't, we're going to take a big leg down, I fear. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that is the vital crux, the fulcrum that we will watch.
Let me ask you a question, one more, and then we got a hot, but only because I apparently gave away really good odds yesterday on a bet with Joel. Do you think we will see at least one more all-time high this year? And we'll call it the S&P.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I do. I do think it's entirely possible. I think generally the supply-demand equation is fine. As long as demand exceeds supply, we're going to be fine.
That's it. That's it. All right.
How's it going, everyone?
Whoa, wait a minute. Aaron, or Rohan, what the hell was that?
Good to see you guys.
All right.
Was that Aaron in the background?
Hey, I don't know who that was in the background.
Good to see you.
Hey, Tim.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tim Quast, founder and CEO of Market Structure. Thanks a lot.
You got it, Spencer. All right. We'll see you.
Tim, I'll see you next week as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Look forward.
Enjoy Steamboat.
We will. Can't wait to get out on the bikes. It's a beautiful day.
There you go.
I found out who the mystery voice was. It was producer Rohan, who is still in our stream and didn't know that. Rohan, look at me, Rohan. Look at me, Rohan. Yeah, you know what you did. Let's go. There we go. All right, everyone. Have a good rest of your day. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes only, not for investing or trading advice.